Beautifully done. And, I was thinking as you were singing that the Lord's given you girls a wonderful harmony to get. Thank you. That's not easily done. You blessed us. And Bobby, where are you? Good to have a rock and roll pianist back. organist back. We miss you. You're gone. We're glad you're back. And look forward to Gail being with us, hopefully, tonight. Okay, good. Well, tonight is a very special night. We have been blessed for some time now with a wonderful couple worshiping with us. And you can tell right off they love the Lord, Lydia and Ron Spittler. And they're here again this morning. And tonight, Lydia will be sharing her testimony. I really was intrigued when I read the background that Denise kind of put together for you. They're the parents of five boys. I bet you could tell some stories around your house.
still can.
And Ron's a graduate of Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary. And I didn't realize that, so congratulations. And tonight, we're going to have our worship service, and then we've asked Lydia to come and share her testimony. She shares her testimony at a number of women's events and conferences, and you'll be blessed. I remember the season that I pastored in Loretta, Tennessee, and worked for a little while in Lawrenceburg at Murray, Ohio, the manufacturing company. And there was an Amish community in Etheridge, and it was a very large Amish community. We'd go there and buy vegetables and fruits and so forth, and I was always intrigued by that culture. And so we're looking forward to hearing tonight your testimony of how the Lord has brought you to where you are today, and we're praying the Lord to use you in a wonderful way tonight. And I put this little note in the notes for Sunday night, I think I did, maybe not, but when I put them down there, I was thinking, time permitting, you got all the time you want, don't worry about that, you got all the time you want. That's what people tell me, preacher, preach as long as you want. Amen? You had me worried there for a moment. But tonight, I'm prepared to preach, but we'll just see how the Spirit flows in the service. And Lydia, we want to hear from you and hear your testimony. And you have a sweet, sweet spirit. And we are looking forward to our time together tonight. Let me encourage you to look with me this morning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. One of the things that I'm aware of is that on any given Sunday morning, most of the people who will be here are most likely saved. Most people here are most likely people who have been saved for quite some time and have a wonderful testimony of God's amazing grace. But I learned a long time ago not to assume that, not to take that for granted. And so every once in a while on Sunday morning, I'll preach a message that is more evangelistic, more geared towards sharing the gospel than we might normally do. And that's the case this morning. It's the words of our Lord, and in the Scripture, one of the things that we will discover is that somebody who counts these things says that there are over 640 invitations in the Bible. 640 invitations that God gives to us to come to Him. One of them is in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28, 29, and 30. I really want to talk to you for just a few moments about the call of God. One of the most amazing and simple truths in the Bible is that God desires a relationship with you and me. He's not a distant deity who doesn't care. He's not a distant God who's removed from our hurts and our fears and our struggles and our questions and our pain. He wants to be our Abba Father. He wants to be our Lord. He wants to be our Master. He wants to be our dearest friend. So I want to talk to you for a moment about the call of God into a relationship with Him. If the Bible gives us that many invitations, certainly they are all significant. In Matthew 28, 29, and 30, as the disciples were still learning about Jesus' ministry and still trying to figure out what he was there for and who he was, and they were still trying to get a handle on this Messiah that they were following, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Someone has said, and you'll see this in your introduction to the outline this morning that is in your bulletin, the Bible is a book of wooing, the Bible is a book of welcome, and the Bible is a book of warning. Now listen very carefully. With every gracious, Spirit-anointed, generous invitation of our Lord comes a responsibility that we have to respond to that invitation. And there also come things that we will be responsible for if we do not respond to God's invitation. Think about it. God didn't have to send his son to the cross for us. God didn't have to allow Jesus to shed his precious blood on Calvary's cross. But he did so because he loved us and desired a relationship with us. And he wants a relationship with you this morning. And so I want us to look at a few things that are simple and yet so significant about the call of God, not only here but throughout the Scripture. In fact, the Scripture closes with an invitation. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and let him that is athirst come. Let whosoever will let them come and drink of the water of life freely. Concerning the call of God in our lives, there are several things that are important for us to understand. The first of which is, I've chosen to call, the call of God is a sovereign call. And in parentheses, I put above all others. One time I received a letter from the President of the United States. I did. Ronald Reagan. And I thought, well, somebody finally told him about me. But I was amazed when I opened it. It was a general invitation to thousands of pastors across the country attending a prayer conference in Washington or some kind of biblical conference. And I look back and I'm so grateful for a president who had spiritual values and had a love for the Lord Jesus and wasn't ashamed of it. And I thought, wow, the president has written me a letter. Oh, but you see, that's not the most significant letter I ever received. This is the most significant letter I've ever received. God's letter of love to my heart to say, "Jackie, you may be from Lacey Springs and nobody knows where that is. Nobody may ever hear of you or know of you, but that's all right. Your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life because as a 12-year-old boy, you said yes to the lovely Lord Jesus, to the call of God." And I have received, and as have you, if you've been saved, a sovereign, above all others, a sovereign call from God. The things about that sovereign call, I think, that are simple and yet significant. It's very clear. You don't have to read very far in the Bible before you understand clearly God is searching for a relationship with man. Very clear. "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." There's one clear thing we all understand from God's Word. God wants a relationship with us. And you don't have to leave here saying, "That's not for me." You don't have to leave here thinking, "God didn't write that to me." It is for you. It is to you. It is about you. And it's about me. The sovereign, clear call from God. But this amazes me just as much. It's not only a clear call, it's a comprehensive call. Now, if you and I were to make out a list of people that we wanted to invite to a special event at our home, that list would include family, most likely. It would include friends and close associates, but it would include those people that you have the highest regard for. I want to tell you, this call is a whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. It doesn't matter what your sins have been. It doesn't matter what your wrong decisions or poor decisions have been. It doesn't matter how you failed along the way or wrong choices you've made. God yearns for a relationship with us. And the sovereign call of God is clear and comprehensive. And it's not only clear and comprehensive, it is compassionate. Compassionate. On one occasion when Jesus was looking over the multitudes, the Bible says in Matthew's gospel, he was moved with compassion. Literally, the Greek suggests that Jesus wept. That Jesus is moved with compassion because they fainted as sheep that had no shepherd and they were scattered abroad. And he prayed, asked the Lord to send forth laborers in the harvest, for the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So the sovereign call of God is clear and comprehensive and compassionate. I have an idea when those in heaven, when the angels in glory, this is just my sanctified imagination now. I don't know a lot about what's going on in heaven right now, though I know it's all going to be understood one day. But I have an idea when the angels in heaven see someone down here, if that's the case, who turns their back on the greatest opportunity in the world to have your sins forgiven and have a relationship with God, it must break their heart. I have an idea also, if there's celebration in heaven, I believe there will be. Listen, if God lets us celebrate down here, you ever just had a service you just wanted to just get happy?
Yes.
I mean, you just got happy all over it. Sometimes it's hard for me to be still, Jack, when this choir sings or when these duets sing or when you sing or other singers. I just forget for a while how intellectual and how cultured and how sophisticated I am, and I just want to have a running spell, amen? Just have a blessed time. And you say, Brother Jackie, aren't you afraid somebody will think you are a little bit eccentric? Well, no, I'm not. I'm only way past worried about that. I just want to, the Bible says the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. And so the call of God's an opportunity to rejoice, and it's compassionate. And I believe in heaven there's rejoicing. In fact, we know there is a rejoicing over one sinner that repents. So we're to know several things about the call of God. It's sovereign. It's above all others. But number two, and I like this one, it's a simple call. I'm glad God didn't say that you had to understand all the Bible. You had to be able to interpret all the scriptures and answer all the deep theological questions. He just said, come. Come because he's already paid the price. Come because Calvary has already paid for our sins. Come. And it's an unmistakably simple call. You can't miss the fact that God loves you with a simple love. He invites you to come. And he didn't, by the way, he didn't say straighten up and then come. He didn't say clean up and then come. He didn't say fix up and then come. And if I were to come to your house, you ladies, or if Liv and I were to come to your house early one morning and knock on the door and say, I want you to come go with us. We're going to take a trip today. And just name it. And the first thing out of your mouth would be the same thing out of sweet Libby's mouth. I can't go because I got to get my makeup on. I got to get my hair fixed. I got to get my teeth. No, never mind. I got to get fixed. I can't come until I get ready. But the truth is, the Lord says, folks, you haven't got any getting ready to do. You just come just like you are. And the Lord loves you just like you are because his is a simple call, which is unmistakable and uncomplicated and unequal. There's no other invitation, none in the world, more significant than the sovereign call of God to the heart of every sinner. It's a strong call. I like this. It's a call that offers rest for the weary and the hopeless and the discouraged. And as you see in your outline this morning, there could have been so many other things that I listed, but there's rest for the weary. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You ever gotten weary of carrying the loads of life? Well, you don't have to carry them by yourself, because He wants to get up under the load and carry it with us. There's strength for our weaknesses. There's hope for our hopelessness. It's a strong call. The Lord doesn't only want to get us to heaven. He does want to do that, but He wants to get heaven into us. He doesn't only want to help us just to get through. He wants us to get through victoriously and live an overcoming Christian life. He wants to be more than just a minimum Savior. He wants to bless us beyond our wildest imaginations. And number four, the call of God is a sensible call. It'll be the smartest thing you ever did when you gave your heart and life to Jesus. Why? First of all, we can't fix what's wrong. The Bible says we've all what?
Sinned.
Sinned. Come short of the glory of God. You can't fix it. You can't erase it. You can't undo it. You can't have a do-over. And thank God Jesus came because He knew we were sinners who needed a Savior. We had a problem we couldn't fix, and He has a provision that can't be exhausted. There's not a need we have that's bigger than the God that we serve. I love the promises of God because God's promised to provide all of our needs. His promises are so many, and they all are true. And by the promises of God, we're able to walk more closely in faith with the lovely Lord Jesus. We're talking about the call of God as a sensible call because of our problem we can't fix, His provisions that can't be matched, and His promises that can't be broken. And lastly, the call of God is a seasonable call. What do you mean, Brother Jackie? Well, seasonable, if you're a hunter, you understand that. A hunter has seasons, for example, I'm a deer hunter. That's what I love to do. And I know when that season is. And by the way, I love telling stories about hunting deer. Libby and I were in Texas. We're in a deer stand on thousands of acres of a ranch. And I led the owner to the Lord, and he let us deer hunt on it. And Libby and I are in the deer stand. Jamie and his wife are in another deer stand about a half a mile away. And Libby says, "What's this? What's this for? What's that for?" And I keep saying, "Honey, you don't carry on a conversation in a deer stand." Ladies, y'all make that note. You don't carry on a conversation in a deer stand. You're supposed to be quiet. And then, I don't see it. I'm looking this way, and she looks that way. She just says, "Oh, look, there's a big one."
Did you shoot?
I didn't shoot. But in just a few moments, we heard a shot. It came from the direction of where our son and his wife were. And so I told Libby, I said, "I bet Jamie's got him one. And so let's go check it out." We get out of the deer stand, and we're walking toward them. And then up the hill comes his wife. And you can tell she is so flabbergasted. She's shaking her head. She's throwing her hands up. She said, "Oh, Papa, Papa, a deer came along and Jamie shot it. And Papa," I hollered, "I said to the deer, 'Run, deer, run.'" And I had a very deep spiritual point I was going to make on that illustration. It's a seasonable call. You know, salvation is always in season. In season. And that's why the Bible never says to wait. It always says now is the time. Today is the day. I've listed some things that really could constitute an entire different sermon. It's important that we realize the call of God is for right now. There may come a time when a sinner's Somebody who's never trusted Jesus doesn't feel the tug of the Holy Spirit in their heart. Sometimes hearts grow cold. And sometimes people cross what J. Harold Smith used to call God's deadline. You see, God's gracious to extend this invitation after invitation to come. But the danger is, the truth is, God may one day no longer extend that, and your heart may grow cold, and you'll have no desire to give your heart to Jesus. But if there's any desire to be saved, if there's any understanding that you're a sinner who needs a Savior, if there's any desire to have a relationship with the Lord, it's not too late. Today is a good day, a good day, a good day. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, to come. We sing "Just As I Am." Well, that one plea, I don't know what we're singing today, but we sing a lot of wonderful hymns. "But that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. Let him that is athirst come. Let him that heareth come. Come, for all things are now ready. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you what?
Rest."
Let's pray together.